which is the name of a person, which is the name of a living person in a spiritual body. And we're baptized into that body through full immersion, the name of Jesus Christ. And then we are filled with his spirit. That's a promise for everybody. And it's the same spirit. It's just we're in him. He's in us. And that's just a simple new birth experience right there. And we grow from there. And you get more and more proficient at praying in tongues, praying in the Holy Ghost, getting a relationship with God, and learning to hear his voice, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know, there's dominion in our sound. This is a song I had that I don't know the title to, and I don't know if they've ever released it. Whatever we bind shall be bound. You know, just think about this. You can play a little music, Thomas, if you want. You got David in 1 Samuel, see where we're at, 22. He's been anointed king. He's the rightful king. You have an evil, demon-possessed king named Saul who is spending all of his effort to try to kill David and his people and the people that are supporting him. So for years, the nation of Israel is suffering. They get down to having two weapons in the entire nation of Israel. They get down to where the Philistines don't let them have blacksmiths. They have to go and pay them to sharpen their tools. And you reach a point, and it probably should sound familiar, where things get worse and worse and worse where they're living. And so you get people that start to be described as people that were in distress, everyone that was in debt. This is 1 Samuel 22:2. Everyone that was discontented, bitter in their spirit, gathered themselves unto him, talking about David. They go to a cave, and he became a captain over them. What happens when people that are just so discontent with how things are going, in debt, can't make it, fed up, what happens when they join together and they have had enough and they go to the anointed man of God, David? What takes place there? Mighty men. That's what takes place. It just takes people, though, getting fed up with how things are going, how screwed up things are, unfixable things are, and getting in alignment with the true anointed man of God and the true will of God. And you go from being described as in distress, in debt, discontented, to being described as mighty men to a level that we can't even really understand what they could do in battle. David and one other guy stand back to back, basically take out the entire army as Israel's army runs away scared. And then after they win, they let him come back and gather all the spoils. Two of them. How does that work? How does two people not get killed by an entire army? What we're facing today and dealing with today is not new, even in this right here. There's been so many moments, especially in Israel's history, where they have been up against the wall or where it's gotten to be a situation that is so out of control that you have a madman as your leader who's a coward, who's willing to sacrifice his daughter and his son to make sure that he stays in power, etc., etc., etc. And can God do it again? That's the question, I guess. There's dominion in our voice. Just as soon as we're ready to start exercising it with God, the authority God's given us, and soon as we get sick and tired of what's going on, the situations in our lives that we're facing that seem to be zero resolution, there is no future. It just it's a continuous drag on your emotions, on your energy, on your ability to even think. And it's just one crisis after another in this church. Crisis, I mean, there's one emergency, it seems like, after another. Surgery here, there, and everywhere. Sickness, pneumonia, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And each one of us has the ability at any moment to get fed up with the situation, to exercise the dominion we have through the Spirit of God that's in us, speaking with authority, praying with authority. We can get victory, at least get victory, and stay victorious through this season that this church is facing right now. This church needs to realize it's just a season. It's not going to last like this forever. You believe that, right? This church is not going to be seemingly powerless when it comes to praying for people when they're sick. If there's so many people that are sick, that stay sick, you got to start going, okay, this might be something else here. Either it's a spirit of infirmity. Devil had that lady bound for 18 years, Luke 13, or God's working and building this church up after he breaks us down. In fact, 1 Peter 5, he's talking, and in verse 10, I'll read 6 through 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Here it is right here. But the God of all grace, here's the message to Sterling, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while. That's the same suffered when he's talking about the suffering he's going to face on the cross. That paschal, what they call the Passover lamb. That's literally what that's called in the Greek, suffering there. After he suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. This season here of suffering is about to change. God's going to make us perfect, or we will be perfect through this, established, strengthened, and we will be settled like a foundation settled to where we cannot be moved. God's doing a work in this church. Who knows what God has planned for this church? But this is just a season that this church is about to step out of as a body. We've all singular fashion, we've had our ups and downs, and we've had so many health problems I'm looking at right now, including myself, that we've maintained our victory over or through. We haven't allowed it to discourage us. We haven't allowed it to get us to the point where we get bitter with God or we start to play that game. But we've stayed victorious through it. It's been a lot of tears and a lot of crying. There's been a lot of not knowing why and not knowing what to do, and all the stress in our houses because of it. And it's just been a season of grinding. It's a refining in the fire. I mean, when Peter's talking like that, and he's talking about the fiery trial, he's not just trying to be using his thesaurus and get cool words in there. Like, they went through some fiery trials. So you're talking about a man that ultimately he's crucified upside down. Josephus said his wife was crucified right before him. And he's facing a certain death that he's already been told about. But in the meantime, so important to him to continually talk about chapter 4, verse 1 in 1 Peter. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with that same mind. For he that hath suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Or 18, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and sinners appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. It is the process of God. If we want to be like him, just like Paul was talking about in Philippians, he was a man acquainted with sorrows, grief, despised by everybody. If we want to know him, there's no way to know somebody unless you go through what they go through in a certain level, so he can then he can talk to you about like what it really was like compared to what I'm feeling here. And you get this knowledge and you get this relationship of like fellow, like soldiers are tighter than normal just because they've been through things together. And when you've done that with your husband and your wife and you first married, you go through a couple trials, you go through a couple tests, you're stronger than you were when you first married. And you love your wife or husband more than you did when you first married them. And you understand who they are more, and it's a continual process there. But when we come to God with all the garbage we have and all of our preconceived ideas. And God has to break us. Unless we help him. Like, we can help that process along. Kale, you can not be broken by just obeying what he tells you, what you hear. You can save yourself a whole lot of trouble allowing yourself to be broken instead of him having to break you. Because if he has a call on your life, which he does on every one of our lives, he's got to mold us and shape us into where we can be a useful vessel. That's going to require breaking us, reshaping us, just like the potter's wheel. And that process of breaking, there's no answers to that. And it's a lonely time. And when God wants you alone, it doesn't matter how many friends you got, they're not going to be calling all of a sudden. They're not going to be texting you. And you're not even going to be, you're not even going to want to look at your phone. You're just going to be, and he's drawing you to himself. That loneliness is him drawing us. Come to me. Don't try to find relief from what I'm putting you through or allowing you to go through in any other realm but me. You know, all along that process, God wants to work powerfully through us. It's not like we can't do something until we're finally perfect. Because we would never be perfect. We're perfect in him. He's perfect. We can exercise his faith as long as we're in his body, staying in his kingdom, allowing his kingdom to be what reigns in our lives, his government to be what's controlling our lives. But it's been closer and closer and closer to the breaking point for me. Moments when you're in the shower and you just start crying because it's like, what in the world am I feeling like this for? And what, God, would you have me do right now? And nothing. No answers. Nothing comes. Tears just got to flow. No answers. But we know who our God is. We know eventually he's going to talk to us. Eventually, he's going to give us revelation about what's been going on, what he's doing in each one of our lives. But this is a church thing. I don't think I've ever witnessed something like this in my short, you know, years on earth here. I've never really witnessed, I don't believe, a church that God is actually collectively taking through a process of breaking and molding and shaping like he has with this church. And this church has grown. Spiritually, you've grown through this process. Instead of pushing God away, you've drawn closer to Him. And there's a quietness of strength about this church now that wasn't there before these things began a couple years ago. I'm not sure when it started. Maybe with Annette's cancer, I don't know. And I have no idea what God's plan is for Sterling Pentecostal Church. But I do know that it is about, this season is just about over. Would that mean there's going to be fireworks and we're going to be jumping and shouting and dancing? Probably not. But then we're going to all of a sudden realize that things have changed. And we're going to start seeing people come through these doors that are going to receive the Holy Ghost the first time they come here. We're going to start seeing people asking to be baptized instead of the other way around. We're going to start seeing family members, the actual family members, come back home, come back to their relationship with Jesus Christ. Hopeless cases coming back. We're going to start witnessing all the fulfillment of so many years of prayers by all of us collectively, but then Sister French and Brother French and all the elders that came before us, their prayers are going to be answered, that we get to participate and feel and see. And a part of the breaking process is you realize just how weak your flesh really is. Just without God, I am worthless. I am a terrible person without God. I can't do anything without His grace, without His Spirit moving, without being anointed. I can't even hardly make sense half the time. And so when God starts to do powerful, powerful miracles through this church, or what He's going to do through this church, we've been broken, taken through that trial. We're not going to hold on to it. We're going to be able to feel. We're going to feel that power and anointing, but we're going to allow it to flow out of us to people, realizing it's not me. It's Him. But I am going to get every bit of Him that I can flowing through me. Trust me, I am going to get some of my own back. Like I'm gonna take a little bit of anger out on the enemy, and I'm gonna do a little bit of damage to His kingdom when things switch around and we're able to mix it up a little bit, so to speak. Trust me, I'm coming after Him in His kingdom. And that's the thing. We start taking territory. We start taking ground. We're gonna slowly conquer this land by occupying what we conquered. And that's been the switch there, because we often win a victory and then we leave, vacate it, and allow the Spirit to come back in and settle. And just like Jesus the Son of Man said 7 times, brings buddies with them that are way worse than He is. And the end of that person, talking about a demon-possessed person, is worse than the beginning. That's the same thing when we take territory with victories in the spirit realm, and then we don't do anything with going forward and occupying that land. You allow the wild animals, so to speak, and the evil spirits come back in and settle in, and then it's back to, here we go, we're having to fight again. But we can just slowly start conquering that land, just like He had the Israelites. He wanted the kids to have to fight. According to Judges 3, He wanted it to be a generational thing, because He wanted them to see, or He wanted to prove to see whether they would follow His commands. We've got to have a fight. There's going to be a fight. But us, just following the leading of His Spirit, things are fixing to change in a dramatic way. I'm telling you. I'm not necessarily even talking about America. I'm saying here. In this, not even a town, Sterling. I don't know what God's going to do, but it just clicked all today. That this isn't just like me and Megan in our process, and the Perkins in their process, the Hylers in their process. It's all of us. We're in process at the exact same time. God is going to do something I want you to own that fact that this season is just about over, and then God is going to do wonders here, and He's going to do wonders in our families. That's one of the main promises we have in the Word of God, is our children being saved. One of the main promises we have is that inheritance, that spiritual inheritance. Ones that have been baptized into that name and filled with His Spirit, that have never left that understanding that there's one God, Jesus Christ, and they've never left that truth. They'll be coming back, because God still has that grip on them. However slight. Being apostolic, I think we'll find out what being apostolic is really like. But we're supposed to be the ones that are powerful. We're the ones that are superheroes. We've got the Holy Ghost and truth and live in holiness, separated from the world. And so when there's nothing going on as far as like those kinds of visible miracles or healings, and I know it's not because our pastor's not living right, or pastor's wife. I assume it's not because you guys aren't living right. So there's got to be a reason. Let's all receive that fact. There's a reason, Maria. And there's dominion in our mouth. But we don't jump the gun. We don't just speak it without that flow prompting us to speak it. But we're about to hit that point where God's going to allow us to really speak things into existence, reverse things in this realm here. We're going to write things. And the love of Jesus Christ is going to be what brings and keeps people. We can't compete at all with what's out there now. There's no competition. My kids, what they watch is so far above anything that we could ever even begin to try to bring people in with these little gimmick type of things. It's not going to work. It's going to be purely the power of God. You know, like the Azusa Street, who didn't even have full truth. They just had the Holy Ghost. You hear about those stories about them praying for hours before they even begin to have like the service, so-called, waiting on the leading moving of the Holy Ghost. That sounds apostolic. And that's a person, Brother Seymour, who had zero confidence in his own self and his own abilities, and so he would refuse to move until he felt that prompting. It's a reverence for the moving of God's Spirit through you. It's an understanding of the environment that has to be created, and it doesn't happen in just 5 minutes or two songs. It's an environment that has to settle in, that we have to make space for, that we have to carry in. Can you imagine being the tribe, the Kohath tribe of Levi? Everyone else had a bunch of wagons, all the other tribes of Levi, to carry all this stuff from the tabernacle. They got to carry it. They had two wagons. You're carrying the Ark of the Covenant. You're carrying all the utensils. But guess what? You never get to see them. They have to be covered by Aaron and his sons. You never get to see it unveiled. Your whole life is spent carrying that ark around, or carrying whatever else around, and you never even get to see what's underneath that veil. I was just thinking about some of the selfless calls of God that there really are. No one, no, there's not one kid alive that wants to grow up and not be famous or be, do something that's special, be an athlete, be an astronaut, etc. There's no kids that say, you know, I want, like John the Baptist, I want to have a 6-month ministry and get my head cut off by Herod. Like, there's no kids that grow up saying, you know, I want to live my life in obscurity, never getting recognized for the my relationship that I have with God, continually having to keep myself humble and keep myself broken before God because of other people. And that's my ministry. Some of the things God called this church to do, and some of the things that we have lived through, they're not that great. And you're never going to get recognized for it. And you probably are more spiritual than a lot of people that get up behind pulpits and that who God's called to that office of the preacher or the evangelist, etc. But you're going to have to just keep your spirit right. And you're just going to have to continue doing what God has called you to do, fulfilling that calling, and no one will ever know your name. But the problem is we measure differently. There's measurements we use. We can't help but do compare ourselves, which is so dangerous. Or being competitive, like playing sports didn't help me at all. So I have to purposely stay uncompetitive about anything. My son Jackson can't play a game without taking it so seriously like I used to. And that competitiveness in the kingdom of God, not going to work. Right? Looking at somebody, what God does in their life compared to what he does in my life, God's not fair. Well, he is just. What I mean is, me and Merle aren't going to have the same amount of suffering. Whoever has more suffering, it's God's will for whoever is suffering to have that suffering, and maybe I get away scot-free. I can't look at Merle, or Merle can't look at me, or somebody that's blessed, and go, why me? Or what am I doing wrong? And we can't look at somebody who's going through suffering or going through hardship and go, what are you doing wrong? The diverse callings of God, and every one of us has been given a gift. When you receive the Holy Ghost, Cale, it wasn't just the gift of the Holy Ghost. You got a gift for ministry to this body. And we need your gift to be operating for this body to be complete and whole. And 1 Corinthians 12 talks about when one person in this body is suffering, we're all suffering. When when one's rejoicing, we're all rejoicing. But we need every one of us, the call of God that is on your life, we need to be walking in that calling out and fulfilling that calling no matter what it is. And not comparing ourselves to who's behind the pulpit or someone that's on YouTube or people you hear about, or not questioning your lack of faith or questioning things because God's apparently not answering prayers like we think he should or like it's always preached he will. And man, we forget so much that he said, like, they hated me, they're going to hate you, trust me. Like, the world is going to hate you. If the world doesn't hate you, there's something wrong. Because he promised it to his disciples numerous times when he's leaving. They're going to hate you. They're going to bring you. They're going to think they're doing the will, my will, like Paul, by killing you. I don't know what you think America was designed for, or you know what your feelings are about that. I believe it's to reach the world. I believe God. The only reason why we won that war was because of God. We were the most. We lost so many engagements and battles. We were always outgunned, always undermanned, always everything. We were pathetic as far as like some of those battles, and God would bring fog in so then they could escape. And it was years of that grind to get America, America. Not 1776, what, 83? And they had that understanding that this was the new Jerusalem, that God was going to reach the world through America. And I really do not believe the world has been reached yet. And I really believe that America has to be strong in order for that to take place. Why no so? Because the government tells us not to do something and we don't do it. So we're not going to rebel against the government and go overseas and somehow sneak in and start evangelizing. If you look at the past couple years, we're just going to be sheep and go. Well, he is hunting us down, isn't he? Just like Saul was. He's hunting people down these days. Only one side. Can you imagine having 30 FBI agents show up locked and loaded to your house because you were at an abortion clinic and a dude started to pick on your 12-year-old boy and you defended him? And go ahead and get humiliated by, what, I think it was like 30 FBI agents. I've got to focus right here. Got to focus me. Got to focus here. I can't, Brother Norm. I could definitely help him out, you know, but I can't control right now what the White House is doing, and I can't get the so-called Republican Party to actually like be men and women of character, and I can't, nothing I can do, but I can get through this trial we're going through right now. I can do my part right now. I can't make excuses by saying it's so hopeless that it's over. I wish I could say that, but I can't, because in my spirit I know it's not. And so no matter what, I'm gonna continue fighting just because I have no choice. Fighting in the spirit realm. But America's a supernatural happening. It was supernaturally, it came together in such a way that there's no other way to describe it. And Israel has been blessed by our begrudging help most of the time. But we've blessed Israel, and then there's all these missionaries now that we have. And as soon as you have weak leadership, it is amazing how, just like kids, countries act. They're trying to push, like, where's my boundary now? I don't feel safe anymore. Now I need to, like, how far can I push or how far can I go? And you see these countries acting just like your children would if you weren't pushing the, or if you weren't making them toe the line with what you tell them they can or can't do. So you get a weak leader in the White House, and now you see it, like, every leader's doesn't know where I stand anymore or what to do, or, man, should my country do this or that or the other thing? It's amazing how much America has kept the world in alignment. That's a godly thing. John Glover Jr. was killed in the Revolutionary War. That's my distant relative. So many people have died for this country, you know, fighting for this country. God's not going to let us get away with just saying it's the end times. He's going to hold us accountable for what we do. It's prayer. And it's standing up for what you believe, not being quiet, not allowing people to push you around because they're loud. What's it going to take for people to come back? I don't know. We just have to get through this. I get tired of thinking about it. I get tired of, like, well, you know, maybe God's going to get it, like, real, real, real bad. So people, and then not one. We have not had, like, one backslider come back in 2 years, I think. So it's not bad enough, and I don't care to have it get bad enough if it's going to take. What's it going to take for a backslider to come home? Do they not feel welcome here, by the way? Like, that's been another process for us, I believe, is when people come in now, they're going to feel genuine love. patience and that ability to work with somebody that's going to continue to make mistakes just like we do. Whereas before, maybe it was a little colder. But my goodness, how having problems in your own life, or how having a kid mess up in your own life, how that can change you. That can make you more, have more empathy for people. Make you have more the love of Jesus Christ instead of the legalism of the pharisaical attitudes that so easy for us to get when we're a group of people, because that's what people do. So I know for me, I've never been weaker. Foggy brain kind of thing, you know, comes and goes, which I've learned doesn't mean anything. But the future, anything like that, we have peace in our spirits. That's that voice of God to me is peace. But as far as like direction, this is what's going to happen, Jordan, in the next year. I have zero. I don't know about you guys, but I'm just, we receive so many promises. How many promises do we need to stay victorious? But God's given the overall plan to, as far as like how he's doing things. And so I already know what God's called me to do. So I just continue walking in that calling. And I have, look at this, I have kids that start crying as I'm talking. You want to talk about a blessing? Who cares about me? Seeing my kids crying and talking in tongues is a huge, huge blessing for me. So if that's all it is, that's good enough for me. I'll go through this, make it through this. Me and Megan will make it through this with God's help. And if it's just to launch my son into ministry as a 9-year-old, praise God. But just for Jasmine to learn how to be an intercessor prayer when her dad's preaching, praise God. Jordan, it's not over, right? It's not over. Amelia, you're just getting started. Kristen, you guys are in the will of God. Need to get you baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and then you will be too. Merle, all these years. Maria. Alex. You know how many, there's so many handprints. God's handprints are all over you, all over this church. So I didn't even get started on what I was going to talk about, which is fine. I would love it if it was a big moment with everybody that attends this church regularly together having a blow up moment where all of a sudden the things switch. Can't guarantee that, but I'm telling you, when you feel that switch in your spirit, do not hold back the voice. There's dominion that you're going to get back with that voice that God has allowed to, that frustration God's allowed, the grinding of this whole season to get it to the point where you're going to be bolder than you ever were before. And you can't stand the thought of going back to this. And so you're going to push harder. And we're going to realize that things in this world really do not matter at all. Food and water and some clothes. But things don't matter as much as this. A spiritual thing and growth. And seeing people grow and helping people grow and being a part of this body here and each one of us with our calling that God's given us, fulfilling that to our fullest potential, because it's going to make this body separately more and more like the image of Jesus Christ, building up into that mature stature of a son who's not going to get tossed around with every wind of doctrine, but has been put through the test. You've weaned your spirit like a child that weans itself from its mother's milk. That's what David describes himself as in Psalms. That's the process we've been through. Kale's starting with milk. That's the process of God's milk. You know, the fact in Romans 12, 1, you don't need to turn there or anything. Well, I guess Levi can whip it out, but when it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I was looking at that today, and it's only used twice in Scripture. The other time, the reasonable, is used 1 Peter 2:2, and it's, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word. That word is the same word as reasonable. And so when it's talking about the sincere milk of the word, God works with babies in a way that is very easy to understand, very reasonable, and it makes complete sense for them. That's what we can do with kale. We won't get in the way of kale growing. We won't get in the way of whoever comes through the doors next growing when they start, because we're growing. May 26th, 2020. Oh, my people, I would show you so much. Whoops. So much that I can give you. I got it, babe. Now my heart's broken. I do put a lot of value on my Bibles, I will say. So that wasn't cool. Oh, my people, I would show you so much that I can give you, so much that I can provide for you. Recognize my promises will be fulfilled. They're not empty. They're not fables. Be faithful and I will show you. Be hungry and I will feed you. Seek me and you will find so much more that I long to give unto you, so that you would be eyewitnesses of all that I could do and all that I could show. Follow after me, believe me, and receive my touch. Have we seen that fulfilled? That word just by itself? We haven't seen that fulfilled yet here. And he said, my promises will be fulfilled. The requirement is seeking him. The requirement is us getting an appetite and creating a hunger and thirst just for him. Making it to where we purposely are making ourselves thirsty and hungry for him only. Switching our appetite, switching everything to that focus. Because all we have to do is seek him. That's what he said from the beginning, like 2017, seek me. That's all I require, seek my face. That's all he wants, is us to seek his face. So Greg, my twin brother, Eli Hernandez, died of COVID in the great prophet in 2020. And my brother had a dream where brother Eli Hernandez came. It was a spiritual dream. And he was preaching to a big crowd. And then he stopped. And he turned over, and so like Greg was basically standing beside him. And he said, you apostolics are standing on the precipice of unmeasurable glory. And you guys are measuring everything that doesn't matter. Think about that. What we measure oftentimes is numbers. What we measure oftentimes is my ministry towards this person's ministry, or what God's doing for me or blessing me, or how much ease I have in my life compared to how much ease Jordan has in his life. We use these human measurements, and every single one of us has been given an open door to go as deep into God as you possibly could. You could be the closest person to ever experience things of God that there's ever existed on this planet. It's an open invitation to anybody. It has nothing to do with your calling. It's that diving into the depth, height, breadth, width, no end to his love. Experience, go as far as you can, and you will never get close to hitting bottom or the sides or any. That's our open door, and we measure everything by what we're doing here in ministry, or what we're doing here as a group of people. We measure everything, and the immeasurable glory of God is right there. Wow. Kale, you have no... I keep talking to you. I know you look bored, but you have the ability to do things with God, see things with God that no one else ever could. Philip got picked up, translated, brought over to that Ethiopian, or after he left the Ethiopian. Which one was it? Did he get translated out there or back there? Back? Well, anyways, he got translated. People have been translated. Eli Hernandez was translated to another place in prayer. But I've never been translated. There's so many things in this relationship with God that we have access to at all times. He wants us to be in relationship with him. But instead, we're that is based off of what God has us doing in our calling, or how our lives are going, or... depending on how that goes, depends on how much of time I'm going to spend with him. When for a fact, you're never going to get, humans will never, ever pat you on the back as much as you need or deserve to be patted on the back. Just, you're never going to get that affirmation from a human that you get from God. There's some things with God, some things in this experience you're never going to get outside of these moments of pure loneliness where it's just you and God. You have no other person. Even if there's someone laying in your bed next to you, you're alone and you feel that emptiness. And there's some places with God or moments with God you're not moving past until you go and spend that time with him by yourself. I was just thinking about that. I could be so deep in God right now. And how much do I hinder myself from that open door by every other dumb human measurement we have? And we measure everything. And we don't measure it with God's measuring stick, by the way. We measure it with ours. Kale, don't let people measure how much time it's going to take for you to be used to God. What you need to do in order to be... to affect other people's lives. Don't allow human measurements to hinder you. You let God move you into where he's going to move. God can do things so much faster than we allow him to. I think back in Paul's day, when those people got baptized, they really believed that they had died out to who they were. And I believe they were never the same. And whenever God would lead them to make changes, they would just make the changes. I believe you can really, really change almost completely overnight. If you allow God to have that access and you allow yourself to die out to who you were instead of resurrecting it, come blah, 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 blah. I remember not wanting to hang out with anybody because I wanted to be in Wasilla in my wife's walk-in closet where I prayed. My twin brother was up here and I remember leaving him at the restaurant because I just had that pull on me. Man. Help me never to ignore that. Because I've done it. You can ignore it till it lifts. You can make yourself go be busy until it goes away. That's why some of us can't stop doing stuff. Can't stop doing things because you might have to stop and think, or you might have to feel, and you don't want to go there, and so you just go and do, and you're just driving yourself crazy because I know what that feels like. God's doing this for a reason, been doing it for a reason. And I want every one of us to be able to say that we have grown, that we know God more than we did before. I would love it for you guys to tell me experiences you've had in prayer that I've never even heard of before. Things God's done or told you about himself that he's never told me or that I've never heard a preacher talk about or any other saint. Because that's available to any one of us. That's our inheritance. Ministry, Donna, I call it the spiritual tribe of Levi. We have zero inheritance here. They didn't get land. Well, they got towns, but they didn't. Their inheritance was, that's our inheritance right here. Not this stuff. This. You know, we only have the Bible until this is over. Then we won't need it anymore. How many secrets are in that you've never seen? How much of God is in this that I've never dug out and it's going to be done with when he comes? How many times have I, in certain moments where I've really been in tune, and it has been like just an amazing experience of how God will have you ministering to people. But how many other moments of those have I missed or turned, or I have, you know, because of my human mindset or because of my temper or something, I've overlooked or pushed past? Like, I better love him more than I love anything. And it might be, you know, 50-49, 50.5, 49.5 for some of us when it comes to the world and God. And it's God, God. I'm so thankful to get stripped of pride, Brother Norm. Arrogance, get stripped of all of those things. It's a battle, obviously, being a man. But getting stripped of those things because it doesn't hinder you anymore. And you can receive from almost anybody. And you're so appreciative of the body. And you see such value in the body. And me and Megan don't have a whole lot that we wouldn't have a problem walking away from, like, right now. And I couldn't have said that a couple years ago. I'm so thankful for that. Because the way things are shaping up right now. If you had to walk away from some of this, it'd be very hard to do. Fivefold ministry. Besides right here, is out here. Out here. So out here, God has evangelists. He has teachers, preachers. Out here, prophets. He wants this church to be a complete fivefold operating church. Obviously, the government of God is 1 Corinthians 12, 28, apostles, prophets, teachers. When we get back to that, we're going to be established with that spiritual authority and covering to where we can actually get into those depths of God that it's a fearful thing. It's a awe-inspiring, make your knees knock kind of an experience. At least that's what I read about in the Bible. I have never had that kind of a fearful experience of realizing that how our God is a consuming fire, realizing how, like, he just lifted up the Mount Sinai. He just came down and wrote with his finger lightning on the stone tablets, and you've witnessed that with your own eyes. Wow. Because that was Old Testament stuff. We should be way past that. You know, Moses, it wasn't a one-time deal with the veil. It was from that point on. The first time it happened, every time he'd be in the presence of God, he'd have to put that veil on because his face would shine. That was Old Testament. That was like the moon reflecting the sun. And so that was reflecting some serious glory on this side where we're at. Just think, that was Old Testament Just think, David got forgiveness in the Old Testament. How does that work? Moses could go into the Holy of Holies anytime he wanted. How does that work? And we can now. The real Holy of Holies anytime we want. Joshua stayed. Moses let him stay in that presence, in that tent of meeting. So Joshua chose himself. There's so much deception out there, Merle, that we can't trust ourselves anymore. I can't trust how I am seeing things, viewing things outside of God. I can't trust things anymore. And I've got to be so careful with the way the world works and that slyness, especially with our children. There's so much danger out there that this is becoming more and more. This is becoming like I'm starting to feel like I'm back being a soldier. Embracing the suck is what we call it, no offense. And it was just doing it together that got you through it. It was having that fun time with your buddies and coming up with the most extreme put downs that would get you through the worst and the dumbest things. Digging through the trash in Alabama because some idiot had thrown ammo away. I got to go dig through a dump trash to find that stupid stuff. That kind of stuff, so that's real fun. That's the army, that's the military. And Paul tells Timothy to endure hardness like a soldier. Merle, they didn't have it, like back in your day, you had people get stabbed in your basic training. Got to build people up that can endure the hardness of this season. What do you think God's doing that right now? I do. And there's certain people in this church that are mainstays that have been like these little anchors that I see, or that I, at least in my perception for the entire church. People like Brother Norm, who are solid, strong, and faithful, and I feel totally fine with being weak when I have men around that are like Brother Norm, like Alex. Again, I can trust them with being with need and help, and they don't treat me any different on the outside. What a blessing this church is. I personally couldn't be getting through what we're getting through without you guys. The moments that there have been, and there's been a lot of victorious moments. That's the thing, it can switch that fast. And we are the head, not the tail. Even weak, we're stronger than the enemy. Defeated enemy. It's already been completed. We're just walking it out. It's already over. The dude already done lost everything. We let them set shop back up, so we're gonna have to go house to house and clear it out. But we'll win when we do it. When we get rid of ourselves, Norm, Merle, Trish, when we get rid of ourselves and we're allowing God and what He wants to be what's doing it. And when I realize that, like, you don't have to be powerful, feel powerful. Your prayers don't have to be all perfect and awesome sounding. You can be a whimper and still be powerful. There's a limit with God. We're the apple of His eye. So that means, like, you look at yourself in the mirror when you get home, you're going to be able to see you in there, that little pupil there. And that's what that means by we're the apple of His eye. That's how close He is invested in us. And he said in Zechariah 2:8, you put that up, Levi? He said, talking about his people, talking about you, he said, when people trouble, you know, talking about Israel, people, do I get turned there? I don't know what I'm on. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after the glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoiled you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand upon them, and they shall be a spoil to their servants. And ye shall know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me. Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord. And many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto thee. And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the holy land, and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. That's what I see coming. We're the apple of his eye. Do you think he's going to allow the apple of his eye, his people that he's in covenant with, covenants that he takes so seriously, that a nation of Israel gets forgiveness over and over and over and over and over, and over again just because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That God, we are in covenant with him. I have his spirit. He loves me very much. He's not going to allow us to be defeated. America is about to experience the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what I really believe. That's what's going to break through in America. He's going to come, reveal himself. Boom. What else do we need? What more do we need with those people that are so diligent in seeking after God? They just don't have full truth yet. They have all the resources in the world. And they're doing things and what to the best of their ability. One revelation away. Jesus Christ. Baptism into the name of Jesus Christ. Boom. Explodes. Not going to allow us to go down. If nothing else, if you don't believe it for you, trust me, he's not going to allow me to go down. So if you stay in this church here, you're going to be okay. That's how you should look at it. Like, I'm here, so I know for a fact that it's not going to get too bad, Merle. I mean, we might get put in the furnace, but we'll be walking around it. Thrown in the lion's den. You think those guys didn't hit the ground? They didn't hit the ground. None of them hit the ground before they were eaten up. And Daniel stayed in there all night long. Their bodies did not hit the ground. That's like, I'll pass on ever going to that place. But Daniel stayed the night there. King Nebuchadnezzar was given dominion over the bird. God gave him more dominion than he's given anybody. And Nebuchadnezzar eventually got straight with who God really was. It took him a little while, but he did. What an amazing story he has. One of the biggest miracles, I think, in the Bible. But just listen to what God did for him. Yeah. 37 of chapter 2, he goes, Thou, O king, Daniel's talking, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength, and glory, and wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. That was Nebuchadnezzar giving dominion over the fowls of animals. It's going to switch. And there's things that God has in store that we just can't handle. We can't imagine what it is. We can't think it up. But he did that for a pagan king. I mean, for a pagan king, he let him be an animal for 7 years, and he got his power back. I mean, I can't even, that's so far a miracle to me. You're going to be strong again. Physically strong again. You're going to have the ability to birth. Both ways for you, but you're going to have the ability to birth in the spirit. You're going to have the ability to push. Some of the things that you thought you lost, as far as that goes, God's going to give it back to you. Yeah. You stand, come on up front. Hey, Jordan, if you don't mind, can you pray instead of... Same with you, Amy. Just have to continue doing that. I do not believe that God is going to allow us to get this figured out, where we know what to do in certain situations. I firmly believe we're going to be like Joshua, and we're going to have to follow the leading of what he's telling us to do on any given problem in order for us to be victorious, and it's going to be ridiculous. Walking around Jericho, that's ridiculous. It's going to be things like that, that it's been this moment here where the voice of God's been stronger because we've been physically weaker, that we become more sensitive to understanding how he speaks, process he goes through for us. So each family and then this church, there's no outline of what, how to win the battles. We can't buy into someone else's what they did. God's not going to allow that to happen. Was it Daniel's 21-day fast, or was it the prophetic word that Jeremiah spoke that said, in 70 years are coming home? It wasn't Daniel's 21-day fast that made that happen. He was getting in alignment with God and the Word of God. And so we can't follow outlines like Daniel's in the Bible and talk about princes of over cities and this is how you do it. All right? We pray in the Holy Ghost.